All right, well, let's get started this morning. The song, The First Noel, is a beautiful hymn that celebrates the birth of Jesus. It tells the story of shepherds hearing the announcement from the angels and the wise men following the star to find the newborn king. But beyond the melody and the history of the song, the birth of Jesus has practical implications for our lives today. Side note, I was putting our nativity on the mantle this week, and I was like, hey, hon, which way is the east, right? West. The wise men came from the west, right? East. Anyways, I'm like, which side of the mantle do I need to put the wise men? So he helped me with that. Because that matters, you know, you got to have that right. But there's practical implications to this concept of the first Noel. We sang it, right? The first Noel, here's the lyrics. The angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In the field where they lay, keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, Noel, born is the King of Israel. I don't know about you guys, but I love the carols. I love the Christmas songs. Anybody else? Am I the only one? I don't know. There's just something about it. It brings nostalgia. It just brings the presence of the Lord. They're full of theology and truth and scripture. And so they're just meaty, you know. You sing them and there's just this heart of like gratitude and God, thank you. They remind us of the true meaning of Christmas. What it's all about. The first Noel is one of my favorites. I have a big list of favorites. It describes the story in Luke 2, which we're going to get into here in a minute, which explains how the Bethlehem shepherds were the first to hear of the Savior's birth from the angelic messengers. They were also the first to declare the glorious news to the world. So I wanted to look into it a little bit more, do a little bit of study. And so what is the meaning of the word Noel? Some of you maybe are already ahead. Maybe you already know what the meaning is. Noel is the French word for Christmas. All right, I actually am part French, and I didn't know that. So, bad on my family line. No, I'm just kidding. Somebody should have taught me that. But Noel is the French word for Christmas. I discovered that Noel is really a linguistic puzzle when you think about it. Originally, in French, it meant news, all right? But then later it finds its origins in the Latin word, meaning birth, all right? Then centuries later it would come to mean shouts of joy in English, all right? So we've got, you know, news in French, Latin, birth, years later, centuries later in English, shouts for joy. Pretty cool that they all kind of go together though, right? Pulling that all together, you can, here's, it's Noel is a joyous declaration to the world saying a child is born and now all is well. A child is born and now all is well. So Noel, now all is well. I just love that. It is well with my soul, right? Like, Jesus coming means a lot, but like, now that he's come, all is well. And that's for you today, right? He's already come, but we have that promise that no matter what, now, all is well, Noel. And I think that's why for me, it's just such a beautiful, like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming, right? For a world crippled by the weight of sin, now all is well. For the hungry soul that just wants the love of God, now all is well. For the heart that's weighed down by guilt and shame, now all is well. Anybody else just think that's really cool? I didn't create that, I found that. I thought that was really beautiful. As you sing the first Noel this Christmas season, let this familiar carol remind your heart that because of Jesus, now all is well. Whatever you're facing, now all is well because of Jesus. I looked into the origins of the song, First Noel. The origins are humble, not unlike the story it tells. Originating in Cornwall, a county in southwest England, The first Noel was written, they think, in the 13th and 14th century, so quite a while ago. Miracle plays were among the earliest forms of theater during that time. These plays portrayed famous Bible stories, and the story of Jesus' birth would have been amongst the most popular at the time. The first Noel is thought to have originated from one of these miracle plays. The first Noel song, it survived and it spread across the earth for centuries before being first transcribed in 1823. Isn't that cool? The world may look different today, but we still gather to sing the same song for the same reasons. The song is a testament to the fact that no matter what the earth looks like, no matter how much time passes, the encouraging story of Jesus will always connect with the hearts that are desperate for him. Are you desperate for him today? Do you need his grace? Do you need his mercy? Do you need his forgiveness? Do you need his hope today? It's available. It's here for you today. Before Christ's birth, and we're going to get to Luke 2 in a minute, but before Jesus was born, I don't know if you know this, but there was a period of 400 years where God was silent. He no longer was talking to the prophets. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's a 400 years, they call it the years of silence. And in a moment, when Jesus was born, which he was prophesied to be born, that silence broke. And all of a sudden, God not only was speaking, but God came to earth, came in the flesh, in a child. He was now Emmanuel, God with us. Not just God, Jehovah to Israel, right? The God of the fire, God of the mountain, you know. He no longer was God. He was now God in flesh, Emmanuel. How beautiful would that have been to everybody that knew the prophecies? They had been waiting for Jesus for years and years. Generations had been passed down. We're waiting for the Messiah. I don't know about you guys. I'm not the greatest waiter. I can't imagine what that would have been like. Generations passed and they didn't get to see it because it was passed down. Jesus will be born and this is what it will look like. So they waited for the Messiah. They waited for the Messiah. And then all of a sudden, he shows up. And Noel, now all is well. Oh, a little baby boy was born in Bethlehem, and his cry pierced the dark period of waiting. And no longer was it silent. His cry filled the earth with peace. God took on human form to have a relationship with us. He sent his son to fulfill the law for us. Guys, our God is a personal God. He wants a personal relationship with each one of you. We aren't promised tomorrow. Death will come for all of us. And it's important where you spend eternity. For our friends who have passed on in the last few weeks, thankfully, they have all known Jesus. They all knew their Savior, and they are now in eternity, free and whole. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's not for you unless you say yes to Jesus, unless you allow him to be your Lord and Savior. Invite him into your heart. It's important. That relationship is so important. And Jesus wants to have that relationship with you so much that God sent his son so that he could pay the price for our sin. There's a beautiful part of love that we will never understand until we're face to face with our God and our Savior. So there's some things that we can learn from this first Noel. And turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read that together today. I know it's very familiar for some of you. For us, every year, it's a tradition since I've been little. My grandparents would open up a big black Bible, family Bible, and we would gather around. We couldn't open presents. We couldn't have Christmas until we read the Luke 2 Bible story. And I pray as we get into this today and as we talk about it, you might know the story, but I pray that as you read it, as you soak it in, may you see it from a different set of eyes, a different place, a place of gratitude, a place maybe for you just of desperation. You need the love of Jesus in a different way. So as we read it together, I pray that the Lord will illuminate to you what you need to hear today, what you need to see today. All right, Luke 2. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angels had told them. As we look at what we can learn from the first Noel, the first thing is this, and there's going to be five things. The first thing is this: the good news is for everyone. The good news of Jesus coming and bringing peace, the good news is for everyone. Every one of your coworkers, every one of your family members, every one of your neighbors of all nations, the good news is for everyone. In the first Noel, the angel delivered the good news of Jesus' birth to a group of shepherds who were among the lowliest in society. Again, Jesus, God does everything on purpose. And so when the angels came to the shepherds, that was on purpose because they were seen in that society at that time to be the lowliest of lowly. So who would God be to come to them to give them that great news, right? That's so like our Lord. This is a powerful reminder that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone and everyone matters. No matter their status, no matter their background or circumstances, God's love and God's grace are for all people. And he desires that everybody hears the good news of Jesus. Just as the angels announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, the good news is meant to be shared with everyone we encounter. In a world full of brokenness and despair, the message of Jesus brings hope and joy and peace and love. We see them on our banners, right? The Advent words. Jesus brings joy and hope and peace and love. He is the answer. The people in your life that are broken and devastated and just need hope, Jesus is the answer. And you're the one, you're the bridge to reach them. Are you sharing that hope? Are you giving the Jesus to them that they need? That's what we're called to do. When the shepherds heard about Jesus, they took off running to go see him. We have a lot to learn from them. We can take practical steps every day to share the love of Christ. Maybe through a kind word, offering to help somebody in need, or simply showing love to those who are often overlooked. Guys, I can't emphasize enough, the smallest act of kindness mean the world to people. We can change the world by just being kind and sharing God's love every single day. Wake up every morning and say, Lord, how can you use me today? How can I be a blessing? Show me. Doesn't have to be big. It's the smallest things that mean the most to people. Let me ask you a question, all right? This is a challenging question for you to be thinking about. Is there someone in your life who needs to hear the message of Jesus this season? I want you to take a moment. Think about that. Maybe it's one or two people. Is there somebody or somebodies in your life who need to hear the message of Jesus this season? Get those name or names in your head. Because not only do we need to be praying for them, but we need to be acting, right? We need to be moving, making connection, meeting up with them, sending a card, bringing a meal, showing up, however possible, right? To share the light of Jesus with those. So the good news is for everyone. Number two, another lesson from the song, The First Noel. Responding to Jesus requires action. If we go back to verse 15 in chapter 2, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, well, that was cool. I guess we're just going to go home and watch TV. No. They said, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that happened, which the Lord has told us about. I mean, you have to understand their experience. They were out, shepherds, they've been doing this all the time, you know, and all of a sudden, a multitude of angels. Have you ever had that happen? Multitude of angels. Heavens, like, show up. They make this declaration. I mean, they had to have been like, oh my goodness, like overwhelmed. And so not only does that happen, but then they're like, all right, we got to go see this thing. They were so excited about the wonder and amazement of this Savior that they had known had been promised. They had been waiting and waiting and waiting, and now he's here. I think we need to get some of that wonder of Christmas back. We need to realize that the Jesus, he's still alive today. Our Savior is born, yes, died, yes, resurrected, yes, and is alive today. He's here with us. He's in our services. He's in our, when we read our scripture, when we pray, that same Jesus is here. Do we have that wonder and amazement, or do we show up to worship or church or our times? Well, I got to read my new version today so I can check it off my list, right? Or I'm going to come to church today and we're going to sing three songs and we stand there and we sing. Some of us have lost our wonder and our amazement about who Jesus is and what he has done. Responding to Jesus requires action. We've got to move. When they heard the good news, they didn't just stay where they were. They acted immediately, going to Bethlehem. Some scholars believe it's 1 mile, a couple miles. So they literally took off, heading toward back to Bethlehem. They wanted to find their Savior. Their response to the good news was one of action and obedience. Guys, we have the good news, and so our response to that should be one of action and obedience. The Great Commission, right? You heard Jim talk about it. Thank you for your faithful giving. Thank you for your prayers for our missionaries, right? That's important. But it's not only that. It's literally the people that are around us that God has called us to. We all have a mission field. So response is action and obedience. The shepherds didn't just hear the message, but they acted on it. We are called to respond with action. Just like the shepherds, we are to seek Jesus, knowing him personally, and then sharing that joy with others. So we're to get to know Jesus. We're to begin learning and growing and being discipled. And then we are to talk with others with them. We're to help them to be able to know Jesus more, to walk alongside them. That's the whole point. Amen. The Christian life is meant to be one of active obedience, actively saying, yes, Lord, to whatever you have for me today. I surrender, not my will, but your will be done. I lay down my rights when I signed on the line to be a Christ follower. It's no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me, right? Active obedience. It's no longer supposed to be about us. All right, number three, this lesson from Noel. Humility is the key. All right, Luke 2:7, if you can put that on the screen. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in snuggly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for him. Jesus, the King of the universe, God who created all things, he showed up in the, again, the lowliest of places and options. He didn't come in a king's mansion and in a gold crib, right? Showed up in a manger where the animals were, lowly, humble. It shows us a lot about our lives and how we need to operate. He was born in a humble stable, laid in a manger. His birth reminds us that God values humility, and that path to truly understanding Jesus often involves recognizing the need for humility in our own hearts. I think we can all learn a little bit about humility. I think some of us have gotten a little too much in our own ways, right? Jesus' humble beginnings teach us to value humility and simplicity. In a culture that values success and wealth and status, the birth of Jesus reminds us that greatness in the kingdom of God looks way different. It's not about our outward appearances or accomplishments, but about the conditions of our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, right? God doesn't judge us based on anything that we do or what we look like or how smart we are or how rich we are. He judges based on our hearts. This Christmas season, we can reflect on the humility of Jesus by focusing on the simple, meaningful aspects of life, whether that's giving generously, serving others, or prioritizing time with loved ones. Those things matter. The people in your life matter. True greatness in God's eyes comes when we serve others with humility, not seeking recognition, but doing so out of love for Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? So humility is big. Humility is key. And we all need help with that because we're born selfish. We're born with our sin nature. And so humility is not something that comes easy. All right? And so we need the Holy Spirit's help. We need Jesus' help to be able to die to ourselves daily so that we can walk in humility. But I want to encourage you. Now all is well, right? We can walk in humility because of what Christ has done. The fourth lesson that Noel teaches us is that Noel brings us peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is. Like, peace is a person. Like, that's so beautiful. If you go back to Luke 2, verses 13 and 14, suddenly the angel was joined with a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Jesus was born and peace showed up on earth. Now we can have peace. Isaiah 9 talks about, right, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, right? The Prince of Peace. The first Noel brings us peace. One of the most practical gifts that the first Noel brings is knowing peace. You can hold on to peace because peace is a person. In the hustle and bustle of this holiday season, it can be easy to get overwhelmed, stressed, or even anxious. But the message of Jesus' birth is one of peace. Many of you today, you might need peace. You're dealing with anxiety and overburdened and stresses of life, right? Well, the Prince of Peace can bring you all that you need. You can breathe in and just close your eyes for a moment and just say, "Jesus, come. Prince of Peace, come." Kathy often uses the word shalom, right? Shalom, prince, means peace. Peace be with you. I'm thankful for the peace of God. Transcends all understanding, right? There's been many times where I've just had to pause and stop and just breathe and say, "Jesus, come be the peace of my heart." Many of you that are walking through grief right now, you know what that's like. You know the peace of God in the midst of hardship, in the midst of heartbreak, in the midst of complete what in the world is going on? Peace shows up, all right? That's because of the first Noel, right? Now all is well. Thank you, Jesus. As followers of Christ, we are all called to be peacemakers. We're not called to stir up chaos. We're called to bring peace with us, right? To bring the Jesus with us wherever we go. We're called to lay down all the other things. This doesn't mean ignoring conflict, all right, but it means seeking reconciliation where it needs to happen. It means seeking forgiveness and healing in relationships. And guys, that takes time. That takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of humility. It takes a lot of dying to self. If you really want to be reconciled, oftentimes you got to lay down your own rights. If it's really about the relationship, who did what and whatever, it doesn't matter. Because it's about the two people, right? If you're carrying a burden of anger or resentment or bitterness, the peace of Christ can help bring healing to your heart and restore you today. This Christmas, take the opportunity to extend peace to those around you. What a gift. Maybe someone in your family needs the gift of forgiveness. Maybe they don't deserve it. But maybe you could grant that to them. Maybe someone in your family needs the gift of love this Christmas. Maybe you could offer that to them. Or maybe it's just kindness. Or maybe it's just simply showing up and being present in someone's life and letting them know you care, letting them know how much you mean to them. Those are beautiful gifts to give this Christmas, right? Amen. More meaningful than the presents we find under the tree are the things we can give to people because of Jesus, right? Because of Jesus, now all is well. And you can have that same peace in your own heart today, in your own soul today, no matter what you're facing. The fifth lesson is this, and we're almost done. Noel teaches us that worship is our response. In the song Gratitude, I think it even says, this is my one response. You know, my one response, really the only response to all that Jesus has done, all that God has done, is worship. And worship really is not just the songs we sing. Worship is how we live our life every day. That is our worship to the Lord. Worship is our response. The wise men, after following the star to find Jesus, responded to his birth by worshiping him and offering him gifts. Luke 2:11 says this. Oh, that's not the right scripture. Yes, there it is, Matthew 2:11. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They recognized Jesus as the king and they honored him. What are you bringing this Christmas to Jesus? What gifts from your own heart, from your own life, what are you bringing to him this Christmas? I want to challenge you with that. Figure that out, what that looks like for you. Ask the Lord, what can I bring you? Maybe it's more devotional time. Maybe it's just a heart that's open to whatever God has. I don't know what that looks like for you. But the wise men recognized who Jesus was and they brought something to him. You see, worship is the natural response to the awe and wonder of who Jesus is. Just as the wise men bow down in worship, we are called to offer our lives in worship to Jesus. In Romans, it talks about living a life, right? A sacrificial life, right? We are called to live a life of worship. This doesn't mean just singing songs on Sunday, because worship is a lifestyle. It's about living in gratitude for all that God has done and honoring him with our thoughts and our actions and our decisions every day. This Christmas, take time to reflect on the greatness of Jesus and respond with worship. Not just in words, but in your daily actions. How can you worship him every day this month? How can you bring gifts to him? What can you offer Jesus? Whether it's giving to others, serving your family, or simply thanking God for the gift of his son, make worship a priority in your life and make it a lifestyle. Make it something that every day, Lord, how can I worship you today? How can I live my life as a gift to you? I give it to you. Amen? What a beautiful thing to offer our surrender to Jesus. The first Noel is more than just a beautiful story. As a reminder, it's a call to action for us. It invites us to share the good news with everyone, to respond with action and humility, and to seek peace and to live lives of worship. Those are the challenges for us today. This Christmas season, let's reflect on the practical implications of the birth of Jesus, and let's let it transform the way we live. Amen? So let's do this. I'm going to play a song here in a minute, and we're just going to have a moment to just reflect and respond to Jesus. I want to read this again. Noel, right? For the world crippled by the weight of sin, now all is well. For the soul hungry for the love of God, now all is well. For the heart weighed down by guilt and shame, now all is well. So I want you just to close your eyes for the next few moments. And I'm going to play a song called Noel by Lauren Daigle. And I just want you to take a moment, just respond to the Lord. What does that look like? What do you need to bring to him this Christmas? Who do you need Jesus to be this Christmas? Do you need his love? Do you need his joy? Do you need his peace? Whatever that is in this moment, just respond to the Lord in the quietness of your seat. Let's have everybody's eyes closed so we can have just a moment of reflection together. You can go ahead and begin playing that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you can just bring this song down a little bit. Let's stand to our feet today. I want to pray for you. And in a moment, we're going to ask our prayer altar team as well to come forward. And if you have a prayer need today, just something that you need somebody to pray with you about, Man, come forward and let us pray for you today. Man, we need Jesus. We're all desperate for something in our lives. And praying, the Bible talks about praying, right? The power of laying hands on one another and having faith to believe God for whatever. That's so important. So in a moment, we're going to do that. But I just want to pray over you guys today. Man, this season, we start the Christmas season. If you can turn the music down a little bit more. Don't miss what God wants to do in you this Christmas season because it's busy and chaotic. All right? Don't miss the moments. Don't miss the people because they may not be here next week. Don't mean to get dark, but that's reality. We're not guaranteed. Don't miss the moments. Don't miss the ability to overlook, forgive, reconcile, care, and love, right? The gift of Jesus has given us all the ability to give away those things because Jesus was forgiveness. It's not ours to give anyways. Amen.